This is RV on Business.
Welcome to 101.9 High FM. Thank you so much for joining us. It is 6 minutes past 11. Today we are going to spend quite a bit of time discussing a subject that we have spoken about before, but what I've never really done is broken it down into its core components and really given an in-depth look as to how the product works, or even going further back as to how the product was developed and why it was developed, how it's worked. One thing I've learned over the years is that so many people in my position tend to take things for granted, tend to use terminology and language that is confusing, and often come across as a little bit aloof and separate from the person that they're trying to interact with, not intentionally, but simply because there's an assumption that everything is known and understood. It would almost be tantamount to me sitting down with a doctor and a doctor just discussing a heart transplant with me with all the technical terms and all the bits and pieces that go into it without telling me exactly what is happening at each step of the process. And then just looking at me and saying, like, why don't you know what this is and what that is? And the answer is, I have a rough idea where the heart is and how it works. But there's no reason for me to understand the intricacies of a heart on a daily basis. It has no impact on my life whatsoever. If I have a problem, that's where I call you. And so too, when it comes to financial planning, it's, I think, not as straightforward because everybody should have a deeper understanding as to how their money works, why their money works, where their money works, because that's really what makes the world go around. And the product we're going to be speaking about today is a retirement annuity. We've got a break coming up in 2 minutes, but to maybe just paint the picture very broadly, as we stand now in South Africa, a pension fund, a provident fund, and a retirement annuity all fall under the same umbrella. So when you talk about deductions for retirement savings, money that's going into pensions, providence funds, and retirement annuities, what you will know is that they all use the same formula and they are lumped together. So when you talk about how much you can deduct for retirement savings, if you are an employed person and you have either a pension or a provident, and some places you might have both, and you have a retirement annuity, you want to work out what is the maximum you can deduct for tax deductibility. You put all three together, it'll give you a figure, and then you'll go from there. But let's take a quick break. Let's run to the shops. And when we come back, we'll get into the mechanics of it.
This is RV on Business.
Right, let's get into the mechanics of retirees, where they started, where they came from, how they work, and what they are all about. So the jury's really out as to where they really started and when they really came onto the market. But we do know that they came onto the market around about the 1960s. So you always had pensions and provident funds. It's been a really a part of working South Africans' life forever, so to speak. But now all of a sudden, you had individuals turning around and saying, something's not fair here. I start a business. I employ people. I pay tax. And yet I get no tax deduction that I would have got had I not started the business and worked on the job. Because had I worked on a job, I would have been able to be eligible for a pension fund. That pension fund would have, that contribution would have been tax deductible. Over the years, there's been lots of different calculations, but over the years, it would have been tax deductible. The fact now that I want to save for my retirement, I don't have a product to do it. So what really happened is it's a discussion whether it was Old Mutual that came out with it first or the old late Sage Life came out with it first, but it was a product that came out as a retirement annuity and then it was shortly legislated thereafter that it could be used as a tax deduction. So what we need to look at is, we've discussed who it's designed for, people who are self-employed. The question is, if you are employed, can you save more through retirement annuity? And the answer is, you definitely can. And the idea that you put money away for retirement is, in one sense, the most brilliant and ingenious thing that you could do. It's almost intuitive that I need to have money in order to retire. Let me use a product that is designed for that. And then all of a sudden, you'll stand around the proverbial braai on a Sunday, and some genius will tell you, did you know that the money you're putting away, yes, you're getting a tax deduction, but you're going to be taxed on the other end. So whatever the SARS doesn't take from now, you now, they're going to take when you retire. It's not lying, but it's not a full truth. It means that he doesn't know what he's talking about, or maybe she doesn't know what she is talking about. It's a half-truth and it sows doubt. The other thing you could very well hear is that, you know, you can't get your money when you retire. There's only a certain portion that you can get. So you get a tax deduction up now, but then your money is in this fund. You can't access your money. And when you retire, you'd dictate to as to how much you can take. And then it's only a smaller amount. And if you die, then you're in big trouble. Again, portions of truth, portions of half-truth, and portions of outright lies. So what I'd like to do today is just to go through it step by step. And again, the questions that I'm answering are questions that have been sent in by so many people over the time. And I've put it into a talk that I once gave, and I'm just going through it and pulling out the salient points that can help our listeners based on their questions. So the first key point that I'd like to make very clear is, a retirement annuity is a personal retirement saving vehicle designed to help you build capital for retirement. So that is what it's really all about. Okay, let's go through the basic structure of a retirement annuity. So the first thing is that you contribute to a retirement in three different ways. Number one, as you would imagine, on a monthly amount. You sit down and you say, right, I can afford 5,000 rand a month into retirement annuity. Then you sit down with your financial advisor and they will work out for you what the maximum tax deductible amount is. We'll get to that just now. So you can put away monthly. Now you've sat with your financial advisor and I say to you, you know, Johnny, 5,000 Rand is what you can afford, but you can actually afford, you can actually put away 10,000 Rand a month as a tax deduction if you have the affordability. So in other words, at the end of the year, you will still have 60,000 Rand extra that you could put in. So what do? You reckon, you know what? I don't want to put this proverbial noose around my neck. Push my debit order amount up to 10,000 Rand, because life happens and I'm not quite sure, and maybe I could afford it. And let's say things go well, thank God, and you now take an extra 5,000 Rand a month and you put it into a money market account just on the side. So, in other words, you're contributing it in your mind to your retirement, but you haven't put it into your retirement annuity just in case you need to, number one, stop the monthly amount, or number two, unfortunately, withdraw for it in order to cover shortfalls. Now comes the end of the year. We are sitting at the beginning of February. You call up your accountant, and your financial planner, but your financial planner, and you say, listen, I'm very proud of myself. I've saved this extra 60,000 Rand. Please send me the bank details of that I should deposit into, or at some companies, you might be able to say, would it be easier if you just debit my account? So that is the other way that you could do it. So your monthly amount, and then you've got a final top up at the end of the year. And then there's something that happens on an ongoing basis. You could be that guy that wants to save that extra 5,000 rand a month, but you don't want it to get over 20. And the moment it hits 20,000 rand a month, you want to say deposit it in. That's what we call ad hoc or top up payments. You just want to put them in as an ongoing amount. So that's the way you can contribute to an RA. And it's something that I often say to clients is, here are the facts. This is what your tax deductible amount is. The example we just used, 10,000. You can afford 5,000. There it is. Either open up a flexible investment account, but most probably just a savings account where you can transfer the money. People will often say, please protect me from myself. Because if it's in another account and I walk past the pro shop, we've got a problem on our hands. So often they say, please put it into an investment that if I need it, I need to come to you and get it. Right, let's take another break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss where you can actually invest the money. Let's take a break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 High FM. It is 20 minutes past the hour of 11. Right, coming back to retirement annuities. So now we've worked out how you can put the money in, recap, monthly, a lump sum at the end of the year, or lump sum amounts on an ongoing basis together with your monthly amounts. And I suppose there's a fourth option that you just put in lump sums as and when you have them available. But now your question is, okay, where should I invest my money? And there's nothing more, it used to irritate me and then it used to frustrate me and now it just humors me when people say that Sunrise Insurance Company's RAs are rubbish. It's an impossibility. It's almost like saying like Toyota cars are, that's not true because Toyota's cars are brilliant, but it's taking a product that is defined by legislation and saying that the company that manages it is rubbish. It might be slightly higher fees, it might have their own little weird, quirky structures, but the basic mechanics are the same. So, when someone says to you, I put my money at Liberty and it hasn't grown and I'm very angry, it's got very little, if anything, to do with Liberty or Momentum or Discovery or any other company. It's got to do with where your money is invested. So let's break that down. We've got two parts to this story. Number one, the amount that's going in. So we've got 5,000 rand that's going in. The question is, where's it going to? Oh, it's going to Sunrise Insurance Company. Yes. And what are they doing with it? Oh, they're investing it. Where are they investing it? I don't know. Well, let's take a step back and let's use broad categories. Is it going to be invested in something conservative, something moderate, or something aggressive, or a mixture of the three, somewhere in between? Oh, okay. I did fill in a form, had a whole lot of questions, and I came out as aggressive. And I was told that I'm aggressive, not because I was shouting and screaming and throwing my mouse all over the office. I came out as aggressive from my risk profile because my time horizon is far down the line. I mean, my early 30s, earliest I can retire legally is 80, is 55. And based on the little calculations I did with my financial planner, I must probably have to live on, keep working a little bit later. So I came out as aggressive. Okay, where was the money put? Okay, so now my financial advisor explained to me that I should be looking at having the majority of my money in equities, and that is where money in the stock exchange, not buying individual shares, but buying funds that are run by somebody called a fund manager that has a mandate, and that mandate dictates how aggressive moderate or conservative the fund manager must be with my money. Okay, now we're starting to build a picture. But then the person says to you, but my financial advisor also said to me that there are limitations. I can only have a certain amount in aggressive stuff. I can only have a certain amount in offshore investments. And when I said to them, my financial advisor, but gee, was interest rates are so high, I want to put everything in money market. He told me that is a short-term gain and a long-term suicidal intent when it comes to investing. Okay, what did you understand by that? Well, what I understood is that there's a regulation called the Regulation 28, which means that I can't have too much of my money in aggressive funds. And what the regulation aims to protect is the investor. Many things, but one of it is the investor who woke up late, is throwing caution to the wind, has got no other money, and is just going flat out with aggressive investments. And all of a sudden, when it comes to retire in 2 or 3 weeks' time, in 1 year's time, the money they put in is worth less. The money they got now is worth less than the money they put in. Why? Because the market turned. Because, I don't know, Iran attacked the world, or because some politician said something silly. And all of a sudden, at that point where he needs or she needs the money, they're in a bit of a bind. So, by regulating how much can be aggressive, we limit that risk. The truth is that in the perfect world, 5 years before retirement, there should be a lot of activity in your investment portfolio, starting to get you ready for retirement. And then what should it be happening? You should be going from something more aggressive to something more conservative. And I can hear you saying, but hold on, why shouldn't I gain the advantage of the last couple of years? And the answer is you should gain the advantage, but with limited risk. And the South African investment market is hysterical at times. But sometimes a moderate fund will perform better than an aggressive fund over 3 years. It'll give you less sleepless nights. It'll be less volatile, which means bouncing around less all over the show. And it'll give you a more consistent return. So the truth is that you might be losing out a little bit. But on the other hand, you might very well be doing yourself a big favor and starting to conserve your money. There's a rule of thumb that I heard many, many years ago at a PPS conference that I went to. And the lecturer or the guest speaker said a very good point. He said, take 100 and minus your age. And that is the amount of equities that you should have in your investment portfolio. So again, this is not advice. I'm simply sharing a thought that I heard and saying that to me, there's some validity to it. So if you are a 60-year-old, 60 from 100 is 40. In other words, less than your portfolio, less than half your portfolio should be aggressive. If you're 70, only 30% should be aggressive. And if you're 80, only 20%. Now, when we use those ages, something that we're finding in the industry is that people are living longer and longer and longer. I remember having heated discussions with administrators of old age homes where they were demanding a disclosure of how much our clients had because they wanted to see what they could charge our clients. And just to qualify that, here I'm talking about the Jewish institutions. Where I told them what the client could afford, and they're saying, well, we don't really care what you say the client can afford. We need as much cash flow as possible. Show us what the client has. And then when the client runs out of money, we will come up with a plan. And, you know, that's all good and well when I'm talking to the administrator, but can you imagine being an elder person? Almost bedridden, knowing that at some point you're not going to be able to pay your way. And all parties are right. All parties are right. And I don't want to for one second come across that I've got anything against, especially the Chevra Kedisha, God forbid, for the amazing work that they do, and make sure that every elder person has a roof over the head, has dignity, has a sense of self-purpose. But those are the realities that we have to look at, is how do we balance the assets in it? So a person might turn around and say, yes, I know I've come out on this little fancy charts of yours as aggressive, but I'm a very conservative person by nature. And I don't want to see that I've put in 60,000 rand this year. And when we look at a statement in month 13, it's only 50,000 or 59,000. I'm going to lose my mind. And that is a time where a little bit of hard reality and cruel to be kind might come into the mix, where you say to a person, would you rather have a little bit of upset throughout the process of the investment, or lose out on tangible, real return that you could have got at retirement and leave yourself in a real mess? So sometimes you really need to say to a client, let's put it in and let's see how it goes. If you have a financial advisor who you're very au fait with, who's very on top of the ball, then you'll find that certain clients move portfolios on a more regular basis. I certainly wouldn't advise it, but I know that certain of our clients are very savvy and who are on top of their portfolios all the time. When there is a lot of disruption, a lot of noise, a lot of volatility, they are more than happy just to sit in cash and get a consistent return and then work their way out of it slowly as time goes by. Let's talk about the lack of access. So now we've talked about how you can put your money in, where your money is invested. So the questions just popped up here. And they said, if I use Sunrise Insurance, and they put inverted commas, do I have to use their funds? And the answer is 9 times out of 10, no. You can go in and you can use any funds. So you can say to Sunrise, I want to use Allan Gray, I want to use 91, I want to use Discovery, and these are the particular funds I like to use. You can go ahead and do it. But please bear in mind two things. Number one, insurance companies offer discount their own funds, in order to get a slightly lower cost on them. And number two, some insurance companies will give you additional boosts on your investment that vest at retirement if you use their funds. So just bear in mind what the advantage of the funds that you want to use are. In other words, how much have they outperformed the in-house funds, and then take it from there. Let's go have a look at, before we get to who can touch the funds, let's go look at who a retirement annuity should be used by. So without doubt, it should be used by self-employed people, business owners, consultants, commission earners, freelancers, people who don't belong to a company pension fund, people where the employer's retirement contributions are low or too low, people who have irregular income, as I said, you can put ad hoc, and people who want additional tax-efficient saving vehicle. So those is basically everyone except for that small little percentage of people where they have maxed out their pension and provident fund at work, and there's no room to wiggle. So then they're basically ready to, ticked all the boxes. The magic numbers that people throw about are 5, 7, and 10% of income. So in other words, if you were at a company, people say, oh, I'm saving 14%. Yes, you're saving 14% overall, which includes most probably around about 2% on costs on your pension fund. So your 14, your risk pension fund is, 14 has now come down to 12, and you pay half, the company pays half, but you don't pay the cost. So you're paying 7 and the company's paying 5. And that's the way it works. So that's why 5, 7, and 10 tend to be the retirement annuity go-to numbers because they are the amounts that people are allowed to, that people would usually getting in the pension fund. How much can you put away? The answer is you can put away whatever you want. Whatever you want, you put in an IRA, you can put in. However, don't forget why it was created. It was created to give you tax deductible contributions and non-taxable growth. So, in our case, where this person can deduct 10,000 rand a month and they are only putting in 5,000 rand a month, they are getting a tax deduction on that 5,000. Say, if their income is 30,000 rand a month, they will actually be taxed on 25,000 because of the 30 minus their contribution of 5 gives you tax on 25. So you pay less tax on a monthly basis if you are putting in monthly and you have a PAYE structure like that. What happens to that additional amount? We said in our example, our guy did really well. He saved the extra 60. He's now putting it in. You won't get an immediate tax deduction on that on a monthly basis because that has to work through your bookkeeping and through your accountant and through SARS. What will happen is when you submit your tax return, SARS will see on your certificates that you made monthly contributions to the value of 60 and that you made lump sum contributions also to the value of 60. You took the benefit of the first 60, the recurring, but you haven't been rewarded for the second 60. And then SARS will refund that to you. And that's the way it'll work there on a monthly basis. So what the government's really saying to you is that if you save for your own retirement, we'll give you tax relief now. But there's another portion of tax relief that you're getting. And that's a tax relief from something known as capital gains tax. A lot of people are not a fay with it. Why? Because it's a capital gain. In other words, you buy an asset and you sell an asset. If you make a profit, you pay tax on that profit. But it excludes one major, many categories, but one major category. And that's something called a personal use item. So if you buy a dining room table and I don't know, you got it, it was outside someone's house and they had a sign 5,000 rand, but you saw it was a Hartmann and Kepler and you know a guy who knows a guy, and all of a sudden you restored it back to factory perfect condition. 5 years later, you sell it for 100,000 rand. Don't pay capital gains tax because it's a personal use item. But if it was an investment, if you bought it for 5, you fixed it, you sold it for 100, you made a capital gain of 95, 100 minus the base cost, you would have to pay capital gains on that. So too with investments. If you've got unit trusts and you've put in 100,000 rand in a year, and it's worth 150,000 rand, and you sell the units, you're going to pay gains on that 50. There's a certain amount that's tax-free, but you'll pay gains on that. The retirement annuity, you never pay capital gains tax. How does those mechanics work? We've got a minute and a half before the break, so I'll start, and if I don't finish, we'll finish it afterwards. The mechanics work very simply like this. As you put your money in, whether it's low, medium, or high, equities, more conservative, lower risks, or cash type funds, your money will grow. And as your money grows, you get a gain, you benefit from it. But what happens is that you never pay tax on that. You do pay tax on that income eventually, but I'll explain to you how that works. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
And we are now heading into the closing parts of the show. And we were discussing just before we went into it, what do you do? How is your money taxed in an IRA? And we said it isn't. But we all know that eventually you're going to pay tax. It works like this. So long as your money is housed in that vehicle called a retirement annuity, or its sisters and cousins, a preservation fund, you are not going to be taxed. The only time you will be taxed is when you start to draw money at retirement. But you don't get the money, you don't draw the money. So you don't get the income without tax. So when the money is drawn, you're going to pay tax. What tax are you going to pay? You're going to pay marginal tax. In other words, tax according to the tax tables. So if you decide to draw, regardless of what the percentage is, which we'll discuss just now, you are going to pay income tax on that money that you draw. And that's why it is so important that you understand how the mechanics work. Because when somebody goes into retirement, the income amount tends to come off. They tend to rather sit on the money, draw what they need. And therefore, you're taxed at a lower rate than you would have been taxed had you not retired. You still be working. It's not a different tax, and it's not different because you're retiring. It's different because it has the possibility of being lower because you're drawing less simply because your needs are less at that particular time. What happens to the balance of the money? Well, the balance of the money sits there and it continues to grow. The beauty about a living annuity is where we discuss Regulation 28 and where you have to protect yourself from yourself and protect yourself from the market fluctuations. No such protections in living annuities. You can go as sugar as you want, as crazy as you want with your investment. And you can draw at the moment between 2.5% and 17.5% on a year. So in a year, you can draw anything in between. A few provisos. Number one, you can either draw it monthly or annually. So you can get a lump sum or you can get it paid to you monthly. You cannot change the amount in the middle of the year. So if you all of a sudden decided, oops, I need more money, sorry for you. Please, please, if you remember one thing from the show and you're looking to retire, it's this. No matter how much you cry, swear, threaten, who you know, who you went to school with, the law doesn't change, cannot be changed. So if you are concerned, maybe take a little bit more, keep it aside just in case, because it cannot be changed during the year. And another thing to remember is that it is often quoted in percentage. So if you are drawing a higher percent, let's say over 7.5, 10 even, and you then get a letter to say, do you want to change your income or do you want to keep it? And you said, I want an income of 10%. If you don't do anything, they won't change anything. And if you do say, keep it as it is, they will keep it as it is. But what you've got to be cognizant of and very sharp of is what's the capital amount? If the capital amount has dropped because you've drawn a high income and you've been conservative, or the markets have moved against you, your income is going to be lower next year because it's the same percentage of a smaller amount. And just before we wrap up, I've just got another live read that is quite an interesting live read because it's my own. So the live read goes, hi, I'm Avi K. I'm the host of the Avi on Money Show at Chai FM. And we want to help you to make your money and banking work harder with our June offer at Isihlangu Financial Services. And this is the offer. Get the Discovery Banking Suite with us this month, and we'll pay your bank fees for 3 months. So if you open up a Discovery Bank account, but it's got to be a suite, in other words, a transaction account and a credit card, we will pay your banking fees for the first 3 months. We guide you personally, step by step, at no extra cost. Please contact my office on 011 066 7912 or look us up on Facebook. That's Isihlangu Financial Services, And it's the Zulu spelling ISIHLANGU. Please look us up. It's a great offer for the next 4 weeks till the end of the month, where we will pay your banking fees at Discovery Bank for the first 3 months. We are running out of time rapidly. And even though I said I'm going to answer all the questions, quite a few questions have come in. So let me try to answer them because they're obviously top of mind and people are worried. Lorraine wants to know, I have a retirement annuity at one company, but my friend has a financial advisor at another company. Can I move my retirement annuity from one company to another company? Lorraine, the long and the short is yes, you can. But there are a few provisos. Number one, the person who's doing it for you can't charge you commission. So they can't be paid to do that. They can be paid on the new money that's coming in, but they can't be paid on bringing the money over, number one. Number two, please, if you're going to take someone's RA from a company, make sure that the person who's taking it understands what they're doing. Because often a company has complex structures in place, and by breaking a portion of that structure, you harm the client in a very severe way. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, I'm Ben Dana, and on the 14th of June, I'll be taking on the Comrades Marathon in support of the Malka Ella Fertility Fund. Malka Ella helps members of our community access fertility treatment and genetic testing, giving hopeful parents the chance to build the families they've always dreamed of. Every rand donated can make a real difference. If my 90 kilometers can help bring even one new life into the world, every step will be worthwhile. Please support my comrade's journey and this incredible cause by sponsoring my run at malkaella.co.za. Thank you so much for the generosity and support.
Last night, Roto-Rooter saved my life.
Did you know they fix big drains and small drains?
Shh, John, please.
If you've got a drain problem, they've got the solution.
People are listening.
Exactly. They need to know. They open 7 days a week. Oops, sorry, just love a drain that behaves.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roto-Rooter.
Residential, commercial or industrial. When your drain is being naughty, call 011-444-4040.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 10 minutes to 12 and I'm smiling. Roto-Rooter advert is a household name. I've listened to it almost my entire life. I've used them as a company. There are case studies in university for marketing. What a brilliant, brilliant advert. And I'm really excited that companies like Roto-Rooter are now advertising on Chai FM. I can say personally that I've used them and I've always been very happy with them when I was in South Africa. Another thing I want to say, Ben Diner, after the show, I'm going to go onto the Malka Ella website and my company, Isihlangu, is going to sponsor you. First of all, congratulations on running, wishing you all the best. And second of all, Malka Ella and all the staff there, Dr. Umslak, I know personally, and his wife, what an amazing organization. Those of us who have been blessed don't realize sometimes the struggle that so many people go through. And if we can just help bring joy and serenity to a family by sponsoring, it'll be unbelievable. So please go along to the Malka Ella Foundation, sponsor Ben. It's a great, great initiative. It's just a win-win in every single sphere. And again, just a personal punt before I let you go and say goodbye. Please give us a call on 011-066-7912 and we at Isihlangu will pay your banking fees for the first 3 months if you open up a banking suite with us. Our staff are waiting to hear from you. Please don't hesitate to give us a call. Craig, as always, thank you for pushing the buttons. Next week is a public holiday. We won't be having a show, I, however, will be in South Africa. The following week, I will be flying back to Israel. So I will not be able to do a show on that day. So I will speak to you afterwards. Craig, as always, thanks so much. Goodbye.